Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, platinum selling producer, composer, and keyboardist, Robert Kinkle.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Chloe Lowry. I am Mark Leisure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
This weekend, I was catching up on a couple messages, social media posts that people shared with me and stuff like that, and I was going through a few of them, and there was one that somebody sent me of Bashar, who we have happily had on the Life Changes show as a guest. But anyway, it was on Instagram, and it was Bashar, and it was a live video from a gathering with an audience in a big room, it looked like, and it looked like a teenager was at the microphone asking Bashar a question. Now, this is his exact question. My question is, can you tell me everything I need to know? And at that point, I started laughing and the whole audience started laughing. And I thought, okay, this is going to be good. But without batting an eyelash, Bashar answers, yes, I can. And I've actually said it. So I'm gonna share with you word for word, actually, what he said, because I had to transcribe it. I liked it. And I actually thought, like, who really can do this? And the reason I'm sharing it is because our guest reminded me of this, because I think he's actually doing and has done most of this. Now, hear it out. He said, everything you need to know is this, truly. Whatever options are available to you at any given moment, choose the one that contains more excitement than any other. Even if it's just a little bit more, act on it to the best of your ability, taking it as far as you can until you can take it no further. Do it with integrity. Do this with absolutely no assumption, no insistence on what the outcome would be or how it should look or how you should get there whatsoever. When you do that three-part formula, act on your highest excitement to the best of your ability with no insistence on the outcome, you open up and activate the kit, the toolkit of excitement. The toolkit contains everything you need to be supported in life, whatever form it needs to come in, and the driving engine that moves you through life, the organizing principles of synchronicity that allows you to do what you need to do when you need to do it in perfect timing and perfect order. Now, he goes on, and I thought it was really great, and he goes on to say, but it all comes down to understanding that what you believe to be true, what you define to be true, is how your experience, your reality, is how you experience your reality, and that your beliefs generate your feelings, your thoughts, and your behaviors. And he ends with this. And one more thing. As you do this, as you move through life in this way, acting on your highest excitement, you will start living more in the present, living more in the moment. And because of that, you will know what you need to know when you need to know it. And so when we get into the conversation with our guest, I think you might see why I was reminded of this and was very excited about it.
Reminds me of that line, embody the energy of the wish fulfilled.
Ooh, I like that. And I'm going to have to look into that too.
That's for another show.
That's for another show. Well, in the meantime, we have with us today actually multi-platinum selling music producer. And because of him and what I'm about to say, we've titled our episode Trans-Siberian Art, Music, Poetry to Transform the World. This is our episode 784. Again, multi-platinum selling music producer, composer, keyboardist, and co-creator, co-producer, co-composer, and musical director of Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Robert or Bob Kinkle. Welcome, Bob, to the Life Changes Show.
Thanks so much, Filippo.
Did you hear yourself in that monologue?
I did a bit, yeah. Because I've always kind of just, you know, as you know, Joseph Campbell would say, you follow your bliss, you do what is, for me, it was kind of what's fun and what's interesting for me. And kind of my life has flowed that way. Even if I tried to go another way that I was kind of told to go, I always kind of came back to that.
So I actually started our talk earlier today as like, you know, how does one get to be Bob Kinkle? And then I ended up with, how does one get to be like Bob Kinkle? Because as you were sharing with me processes of your life, you went from this and this, and it's not like there was a straight line by any means. So for example, let's talk chemistry and physics. How does that fit into the picture?
Well, I'd always been into music and science. They were both very strong for me my whole life. And when I went to college, I enrolled as pre-med because, you know, that's what I was told I'm supposed to do. You have to be a doctor, or, you know, so you can have a good living, et cetera, et cetera. So I started out as a chemistry major because that was one of the, you know, top five for being pre-med. And, you know, after the first year of that, I said, I don't really like it that much. And I didn't want to take, the biochem, all that. So I had taken a physics course and loved that. So I kind of changed my major to physics. And while I was on the path for a physics major, I took most of my electives in music courses. And I played in bands and, learned to play the pipe organ and all that. And by the end of my junior year, I had been basically completed my music major, except for one project. And to get my physics major as well, I would have had to wake up at 8 a.m. every day for my senior year, which was very contrary to my lifestyle in college, shall we say. And so I ended up just, having a minor in physics and ended up with a music major from Hamilton College. And then I spent a year, I worked for the physics department, setting up all the labs and building things for them. And I was also a church organist for the year after college. And then in that time, talking to the head of the physics department, he said, what are you up to next year? And I wasn't really sure. And he said, you should apply to Columbia. They had a 4-2 program with them. So I applied and I got a phone call like a week later. They offered me a full fellowship to come study solid state physics. So I just went, okay. So that's took me to New York. My girlfriend at the time, who was, later my first wife, also lived in New York. So everything just seemed to work out perfectly. And that was the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah. And then after a year in grad school, I decided I wanted to work with music. At the time, I thought I was, just going to be like a recording engineer and producer. So I ended up through a lot of persistence getting myself a job at Record Plant. I'd been basically paid to go to school at Columbia and then got myself a job at Record Plant after trying for 3 months to work for free. So, my parents were just thrilled.
So you went from getting paid to be a student to working and not getting paid.
Yeah, basically.
Pretty much. Okay.
Yeah, that It sounds a little weird, but yeah, that's it.
Well, and that's important because like you that kicked off other things, and that's why we're having this conversation in a sense, because all of these things that sound like, you know, some good decisions, some sound like not good decisions, and you and here we are. And so, but there's been something that's been driving you from that early childhood, obviously some music. Actually, I want to one point on that. Music is so important. Tell us about your professors at Columbia.
Oh, that, music and physics are very intertwined for a lot of people. Like Einstein played the violin, but every one of the professors at Columbia, they were all musicians as well as being, physicists. And when I made the decision I was going to leave Columbia, I talked to the head of the department, and he said, "I totally understand. We all had to make that choice." So it was just amazing, just
That's
kind of
amazing.
validating my direction in life. And, music and electronics and recording and stuff I'd been doing like all through high school. And, before that, I grew up in Williamsville, New York, where they had an amazing music program, and they, stuck an instrument in your hand when you're like 7 years old. And it was, so everything just kind of flowed through, and then, cultivated leaving Columbia and going to Record Plant, which was, yeah, I wasn't getting paid, but I was getting an education in recording and producing from the best people in the world. Roy Sakala was the owner of Record Plant, and he's the guy that trained, Jack Douglas, Jimmy Iovine, Shelly Yacus, all these top engineers that just recorded hit after hit. And just getting to learn in that environment was, yeah, I would have paid for that. So it was an amazing thing to be there and then be accepted and, finally come on board and be an employee there. It was amazing.
So I think it's interesting because the music obviously is a thread in your life, and you came into life pretty much with music, right? Your parents.
Very, very much so. Yeah, my dad played piano and mandolin and sang. He was like did community theater and things like that. My mom grew up playing the saxophone, and she played piano as well. So there was always music in the house. And my grandmother, I remember being like 4 years old, and she put the little colored notes in front of the piano keyboard, and there was music that had colors with the notes on the staff, and kind of got me playing that way. And I remember there's pictures of me when I'm like 2 years old with my hands up on the piano keyboard. So
You
it's
know, we're going to talk about what else you've done with your music since 2 years old, and wouldn't it have been interesting for your grandmother to be sitting in the front row of a 15-20,000 people stadium with all your fans watching you play that same keyboard?
that would have been amazing. Yeah, sadly, she wasn't around to see that.
So, you obviously, so there's the music thread, but there's also like there's some kind of thread of like I'm having fun, or this is what? Like what were you doing? Tinkering? You had toys, I mean, like all these music toys, right?
I grew up, I had a paper route and would do different jobs ever since I think I was like 11 or 12 years old, and ended up like spending all the money I had on music equipment. I had like a Vox organ, I had amplifiers, I had reel-to-reel tape recorders and microphones, whatever I could afford. And in 1975 I got a Mini Moog synthesizer, which all my heroes were playing, like Keith Emerson and Rick Wakeman, all those guys were had all played Mini Moog. And I saved up my money. I think it was like $1,000 back in 1975,
Wow.
which is a
Yeah.
fortune back then. And so I was always playing with electronic music and recording and all that stuff. So that was just always part of my existence. And being, the physics background and all that just made technology kind of transparent to me. So whenever I was recording something or writing something or trying to come up with sounds, it was, I could just concentrate on the music and all the technical stuff would just be there. It's like, if I wanted a sound, I just would grab knobs and turn it and know how to get what I wanted.
So you go from tinkering with those things, learning how to play the piano, having music all around. And it was interesting as I asked you, like, what were you doing? Like, what's the next step? And it sounded like the next step was always what felt right. Who you wanted to do this with and who came into your life kind of thing.
Yeah, very much. And, I just love music and I loved records and I just wanted to be involved, making music and, recording music at that point. I didn't know how good I was of a keyboard player. I, thought I was okay, but I didn't realize until after being at Record Plant for a couple of years that I could do well as a session keyboard player. Even though I played in bands and all that the whole time I was at Record Plant. But that was kind of a transformational moment. You're working in the studio and you're working with these guys and, they'll spend like an hour or two recording some parts and synthesizer parts. And I go, I could have done that and no problem. So it was just kind of an eye opener to me, but it was through people I met at, Record Plant. There was this guy, Charlie Morrow, that was a very eccentric composer. And he would write music for fish and, put speakers in the water in the East River, or he'd write pieces for, boats in the harbor, Chicago Harbor, called like Toot and Blink, where they just were all looking at a stopwatch and had to blink their lights or toot their horns. So he did events and things like that. But I worked on things with him. He was always interested in like spatial sounds and things like that. And we'd always just get into conversations on synthesizers and sampling and the future of that and what will that do to musicians and all that. And then kind of out of the blue, we did this one little local jingle together. And then there was a competition for Hefty Trash Bags back in the 80s. And at every single music house in the country competed, and Charlie and I, working in his little 8-track studio up in his dining room, we won the competition with the Hefty jingle. It's just all hefty, hefty, hefty. So it was just the two of us, doing the whole thing, and it was great.
It worked.
It worked great, and that was all of a sudden, I became a member of SAG, and it was my voice and Charlie's voice on there, and all of a sudden, I'm making royalties, and I could actually finally afford my music habit. It's amazing. So, and then from there, it just progressed with people I knew from Record Plant. I got introduced to Paul O'Neill in I think it was around 1986, and just asked, can you do a whole orchestra? He was working with this band, the band Sabotage, and they were doing this version of Hollow the Mountain King, and it was like rock band versus orchestra. And my friend Jim Ball, who's the engineer for the project, called me up and said, I got this guy who wants to, do this thing. Can you bring your emulator 2 in and do a whole orchestra? And I go, yeah, no problem. So that's the next thing I know. I met Paul O'Neill and John Oliva and all the guys in the band Sabotage, and we hit it off well. I played that whole record and, most of the other Sabotage records. And then in the 90s, Paul and I started writing together. And out of that, we came up with the song Christmas Eve Sarajevo 1224. And that actually appeared on a Sabotage record first, on the record Dead Winter Dead. It was a story about the Bosnian conflict and the cello player who would play in the bombed out center of Sarajevo. And at Christmas time, he played Christmas carols just to show that the spirit of man was still alive. Mm. And it just fit into this whole story. And that got played by Mason Dixon in Tampa for the first time, and the phones just lit up, and you know, people were really excited about the music, and he called his friend, you know, Scott Shannon in New York and Bill Lewis in Cleveland, and they both started playing it, and it was just, it just started taking off. And then from that, the record company said, can you do a whole record of Christmas stuff? And that was how TSO was born.
Well, as is said, the rest is history, and we're going to get to hear a little bit of that history when we come back, and we're also going to get to find out more of what you're doing now, because you're at it. You are at it. And so this is exciting. So obviously the punchline is Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Actually, that's what we're talking about now. So when we come back, we're going to get to talk more with Robert Kinkle. Then we are going to have our Ask Dorothy segment, and after that we will be joined by performance guest Chloe Lowry, all here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition, right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, and we're speaking with Robert Kinkle, multi-platinum selling music producer, composer, keyboardist, and co-creator, co-producer, co-composer, and musical director of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. We were just getting into the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, but I have to say, Bob, before you get into that story, I had no idea you were kind of such a part of so many of our history. The hefty thing we did that as kids a lot. So thank you very much. Thank you, and good for you. Good for you. And then in the early days of internet, or at least the public internet, because I actually used internet before it was even public through another company, but I think it was like the first year or second year, you can tell us exactly when, but people started sharing around Christmas a video. I didn't know that was you. Nobody knew it was you actually back then. Now everybody knows. Tell us, what were we watching?
That was the second hit we had was called Wizards in Winter. And that record, was it 2001 that came out? And this guy named Carson Williams, who's an electrical engineer in Ohio, got a new toy, which let him program his Christmas lights to music. And he chose the song Wizards in Winter and took a video of it and put it up on, you know, the internet. I'm not even sure if YouTube was there yet.
I don't think and so.
I'm not sure what, but I just remember it got passed around and became viral, and it made the song a hit song because just everybody knew it and everybody's seeing the lights go. And it was so exciting to a point that actually Miller Lite came on board, and they made a commercial out filming his house, you know, doing the same thing with Wizards in Winter, which was crazy. But remember we were, slowly we just started seeing it like here and there. And then over the next 2 weeks, we're trying to figure out, who did this? And they finally tracked him down, and he was kind of terrified that we were going to tell him to take it down. And going, no, thank you so much. That was amazing. And he ended up, working with us on some other things. And he actually kind of made a career out of, programming lights for festivals and parks and things like that. So
nice.
It was just wonderful win-win situation.
Well, you shared that link with us, and so we've posted that along with a couple other things at lifechangesshow.com. Look up Robert Kinkel. Kinkel is K-I-N-K-E-L. And Robert, there's another special moment that you shared with me, and it's truly special when you kind of started to figure out, like, how big you all were.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing because we just really worked hard trying to make the, the best music possible, the best records possible. And we didn't start touring until we had finished our third record, Beethoven's Last Night. And, Bill Lewis at WNCX in Cleveland had been encouraging us to tour. So we, decided, all right, we'll do a test tour with, five shows. And the first show that went on sale was in Cleveland, and it sold out in a half hour. And we went, whoa, I guess people do want to come see us. And ended up selling out two more shows in Cleveland. And then we, we played Philly and New York and Chicago and I think Boston maybe. But that was the whole thing. So our five show tour ended up being seven shows. And then the success of that show, everybody in the country wanted us to come play. And so in the year 2000, we split the band in two because it's, such a short season for Christmas. And we, started doing covering the entire US. And, we grew from doing theaters, two, three 1,000 seater theaters, and started doing arenas. And it was like a few years later, we were in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and we'd done sound check. And I was, just walked outside to get some fresh air. And I'm looking out, and traffic is just backed up as far as you can see. There's police everywhere directing traffic. And I went, holy crap, they're coming to see us. We did that. We caused these traffic jams. And it just, that was the first time it dawned on me how big it really was and
awesome.
What it had become. And it had developed all that, kind of through word of mouth. And, we had decided early on to really interact with fans and sign autographs, for anybody who'd wanted after, any night show we would do. And it just became such a family following. You'd have, grandma started bringing all her kids and all the grandkids. So you'd have like a whole family just taking up a whole row of, and it's just incredible. So
yeah,
the scale of it didn't dawn on me until that day.
And I wish you the same for every project that you're involved in, because what seems to be happening in your projects, because yeah, I actually first heard about it from an older woman as well, who told me that she had gone to one of your shows and I have to go. And I thought, like, it's interesting that she's thinking I should go to a show that, and she was right. I mean, she was absolutely right. So the fact that it crosses almost everything.
Oh, it does. It crosses classical, rock, little bit of theater. And what was amazing is in the early days, we'd even play, at subscription theaters. Like we played the Detroit Opera House. And I'll never forget the director of the Detroit Opera House coming up to me after the show and going, that was amazing. Classical music should be going this direction. You did this and this and this and this. And it was like, wow. And then we realized that people who were just listening to classical music are now, we're exposed to rock and roll, and the people that were, heavy metal rockers were exposed to classical music, maybe for the first time. And it just made this amazing combination of people and audience. You'd have, you know, everybody, little kids to grandmas, people in suits and ties to, you know, people in t-shirts. You know, it was everything.
Your new projects, actually, there seems to be a heart in your new project. So I definitely want to talk about Dina and Avalon. But before we do that, what was it you were sharing with me about handicapped children and music?
Oh, both Dina and I have been working with this organization called Daniel's Music Foundation, which provides free music lessons to people with handicaps. And they have a huge outreach program. And they're doing this huge thing up in Bethel Woods in July just for, you know, bringing together handicapped people from all over. They started an award, music award ceremony for people with handicaps called the Dannies, which is like in its fifth year now. And then Dina and I had done for a few years these special concert called Power of Music, where we would do a couple things and we'd bring on a guest artist to perform. And then, you know, some of the musicians from Daniel's Music Foundation would perform. And it was all about using music to make a difference in people's lives. And it's such a powerful thing to do, that powerful tool.
Well, and that's what it sounds like you're about. And so actually we've had the pleasure of interviewing Dina Fanai on the show, and award-winning recording artist and wonderful person, just really enjoyed her so much. And I'm glad to know that the two of you are working on this project that she was telling us about. So Avalona, tell us about the soul. Well, I think we're getting the soul of it. Already.
Well, Avalona, it's based somewhat on Dina's life. She had you know, near-death experience when she was younger. She was a ballet dancer, and through that, you know, things were hard, lots of pressure, and, you know, she basically had to make a choice to live, and she had to, you know, choose, I want to live, I'm gonna love, and I want to see beyond the veil of illusion. And she kind of dedicated her life to that, and she had stopped dancing, started writing music, and all of her songs kind of fell within this theme. And through the years started developing Avalona to take others on the journey with her, you know, to follow along. It's a journey of self-discovery, and the songs are all incredible and memorable. And we had done the first workshop about a year and a half ago in New York. We took over this church up at 82nd Street and West End Avenue, and just made the whole thing come to life. And we're hoping this December, I think through January, if all goes well, fingers crossed, we're going to be doing a 6-week run in New York.
Wow.
To really take it to the next level. So, you know, keeping fingers crossed on all that, but it's an incredible story, and the people who saw the workshop just came out transformed and really moved by the whole thing. So, you know, we have cast with some good Broadway stars, and, you know, Dina appears in it as well. And it's an amazing journey. And
well, it sounds like
everybody will get to see it.
One amazing journey after another. That's what we've been hearing about today. So I'm just going to go ahead and share avalonamusic.com, right? So where people can sign up and eventually get tickets and all that good stuff.
Avalonamusic.com. Yes, I believe that is all active and going well. So you'll be the first to find out.
Yes, do let us know so we can share. And so then Robert Kinkle, actually, trans-siberian.com, so trans-siberian.com, and we have the link on the website here at Life Changes Show, and we also have his Instagram and Trans-Siberian Orchestra's Instagram, TSO as it's known. But before we go, TSO is great, short, and memorable, but Trans-Siberian Orchestra means something very important. So could you take a minute and share, because I think it'll tie it all in for us.
So Paul O'Neill, you know, who's the guy who wrote all the lyrics, and he's co-written or written himself all the music in TSO. And it was his baby, kind of. And he was looking for a name for the band. And he knew he wanted it to have orchestra or symphony in the name because it's, you know, orchestral rock, you know, progressive rock. And he came up with Trans-Siberian because the Trans-Siberian Railroad is the longest railroad in the world. It connects the most people and cultures together. And music is something that does that too. It just transcends culture, language, everything. So that was it. And it just is like kind of a beautiful sentiment just because it's true.
Yeah. And it goes from where to where?
It goes from Europe to Asia. Wow. It, you know, it goes all across Russia. I mean, you know, Russia is huge. It goes from Europe to Asia. But it, yeah, so it just goes across that whole continent.
So
two continents.
and the music has gone, right, to every continent for sure.
We have not really, I mean, it's known a bit outside of the U.S., but we're mostly in the U.S. It's just we did a couple test tours of, you know, non-holiday times outside of the U.S., but it's just, we just kind of hit, you know, a nerve vein here in the U.S. where everybody loves it, and it just is, we can't even get to all the places that want us to come in a short time. You know, that you can lobby Congress all you want, but they're not going to extend the season at all.
You and I spoke about so many different things, and it seemed like we hadn't even scratched the surface when we spoke. And in the last minute here, is there anything that you want to make sure that's coming up for what's coming up for you, or that you want to make sure that is said?
You know, watch out for Avalona.
Nice.
I'm hoping that's going to explode in the next year and do really well. I'm personally working on a couple records, like a solo piano, and then I have some more, you know, big rock and roll pieces that hopefully will be out maybe by the end of this year, maybe middle of next year.
Let's have that conversation at some point on the show. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I've been working on that, and you know, up here in Buffalo, we just had the total eclipse, which is amazing.
Right.
It was just crazy. You know, it was like, it went from afternoon, you know, it was cloudy a bit, so we just got glimpses in between the clouds, but it just went from, you know, afternoon light to midnight in 30 seconds. It was crazy. And the, you know, you had all the crickets started and everything like that. And then it just turned back on 4 minutes later.
Oh yeah, you said you were going to send me a video of that, and I
want
to see.
Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. I will do that. I will do that right now.
Do send me that, and I think it's quite interesting that last week was April 1st on our Monday, and today is April 8th, the eclipse. So we're doing something right. So we'll just keep growing and manifesting together. And Bob, what an absolute pleasure! If you want to check out the video that we were talking about, Wizards in Winter with the Christmas lights, that's at lifechangesshow.com. Also, there's the Trans-Siberian Orchestra Christmas Eve Sarajevo, which is a timeless version. It's the official music video of that piece. We have had the pleasure of speaking with Bob Kinkle of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Once again, trans-siberian.com, and more links at lifechangesshow.com. Bob, all the best to you. All the best to Dina. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Filippo. It's been a pleasure.
What a pleasure indeed. All right. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Nathan, and I have recently returned to California from Texas, and I truly need your help once again. 1.5 years ago, I fell in love with my soulmate and was sure that our relationship was going to lead us to a committed marriage. However, just a few weeks prior to me leaving Texas, the love of my life dumped me for another man. I was sure Alice was my soulmate, and I don't understand how I could have been so wrong. I'm so angry with her and want her to justify to me why she left. How can I get her to do this, as she won't return my calls or texts or emails?
My dear Nathan, I am sure that Alice is your soulmate. However, we have many soulmates, and you are confusing a soulmate with a divine complement. Soulmates are in our lives for us to experience many different things. Romantic relationships with soulmates can be quite interesting and are often confusing to those of us who haven't truly examined what true love is. I doubt that Alice will connect with you again, but if she does, I trust that you will have figured out what a true loving relationship would be like. I married my soulmate twice before I discovered that what we experienced together was not love. I was simply repeating my mother's and father's idea of what marriage and love were about. I finally found out that there was no love between the two of them and that they were just following their mother's and father's idea of love and marriage. Dear Nathan, I lovingly suggest that you begin looking at what love means to you and what a loving relationship would truly be like. I also suggest you look at your anger, and you may discover, as I did, that you are angry with yourself and not Alice. Once you do this, I ask you to truly love and forgive yourself for falling into family programming and begin to consciously manifest true love by remembering to love yourself first. When we don't love ourselves and we look outside of us for love, we will never find it. However, once we truly love ourselves, then we can easily attract our divine complements into our lives. You can find some very interesting and helpful articles about what love is and isn't online, and you might like the article I found at psychicalive.org/true-love. I look forward to a follow-up email from you and will be happy to help guide you on discovering what love truly means and is.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if any of you or any of your soulmates have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Chloe Lowry, here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We are back, and our performance guest is, oh gosh, so much. American singer, dancer, actress, songwriter, and a woman who knows what she's about. Welcome Chloe Lowry to the Life Changes Show.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello. Hello, hello. Gotta make an entrance, you know.
You got it. Well, you made an entrance early on, which is what makes me say a woman who knows what she's about, because you've done so much from such an early age. Who pushed you on? You know, actually, no. You said, I started out as just a normal little kid. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. Hello. Like, what normal little kid sings Silent Night in front of the whole church? At what age?
I was 5.
You're 5. Okay. Now, I won't stop there. Then there's a video of you telling, was it the choir director that he was doing it wrong?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, just a normal little kid.
I don't know, maybe I get it from my mama. I have no idea, but apparently I obviously know who I am and what I am now, and I guess I knew at 5, but I knew what I wanted and what I wanted to hear, and he just was not playing it right. So I had to give him a snap 5, 6, 7, 8, let's get with it.
So by 9?
So when I was 9, I started singing and dancing in an entertaining group in Tampa, Florida, where I'm from, called Entertainment Review.
Like a normal little kid, yeah.
Like a normal little kid. But I mean, we performed for like the NCAA. We performed for all the presidents. That's where I started singing the national anthem for like the Rays. So yeah, I mean, that was my first exposure a little bit, if you will.
Yeah. And by 12?
I had my first record deal.
Gosh. Like a normal little kid.
Well, everyone's just like, whoa, you must have been like one of those showbiz kids like in LA or doing all these auditions. And that really wasn't the case. My parents are doctors. And, you know, my sister is also a professional dancer with New York City Ballet. So we both just kind of did the arts things. And we just happened to be very fortunate to have great experiences and great opportunities very early on.
So before we move on, were you going to send me that video of Silent Night? I'm looking, by the end of the show, I want a picture, a video of the eclipse and a video of Silent Night. We have videos of you up on the Life Changes Show, and you've got one of them where you're singing like a cover, but you've sung other people's songs, and more than singing other people's songs, you've sung other people's shows, other people's albums, other people's this, other people's that. You've done other people's lots of other people's stuff.
Yes, I've done lots of other people's stuff. Other people's stuff. Yes.
And a big way. Yanni, yeah. Well, TSO, hello.
Yes, the Bob connection, which was an incredible interview, by the way. I listened to the entire thing, and it was so wonderful. I just have to say.
So good. Shout out. Real.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've had an amazing career singing for other artists, for other shows, and really, I mean, it did help me even like really hone in on even my own artist authentic voice. So I'm really grateful for all of those opportunities.
Mm. Interesting, actually. So you've done that in a big way on TV, on film. So now, more so than anything right this moment, along with doing other stuff, you are doing you in true you form as you are now, right?
Yes. Yeah.
What's coming out for you, like when you're writing your original music? What's coming up and out?
You know, I'm very much a realist, a very real writer. I can't write unless I kind of experience something, or I experience firsthand someone going through something and I can tell an honest story about it. But I mean, most of what you hear from me is it's literally a page from a journal, or it's, you know, it's my heart being poured onto the page. Mm-hmm. But it's all from real life experiences. And I think that's, you know, it's our duty as artists to really connect with people. And I feel like the things that I experience, you know, it's important to share. And I'm really lucky and grateful that people have been responding well, at least to the new material that I've been putting out. So it's been a very great journey so far.
So it's interesting. The very first song that we're going to hear, I usually ask people, what's this song about? I didn't ask you, actually, because ironically, you said some descriptive words around it every time you said, maybe play this one. It's a heavy song. It's a very vulnerable song. It's a very deep song.
Yes.
So I get that it's heavy and that you're being very vulnerable and it's deep.
Get the tissues. Get the tissues. Contemplate the meaning of life. No, it is. But you know, that's being real. That's it was. I never even planned to ever release this song. This was just something that came out of me. And like literally, like 7 minutes. I just sat down, and it was honestly, I was too exposed, and I wasn't used to being that exposed. I think a lot of people think I'm one thing because they see me on these like amazing shows like TSO and Yanni, and it's, you know, and it, trust me, it is amazing, but I am a human, and I'm a girl, and I'm emotional, and I go through heartache and heartbreak and all the things just like everybody else. And I was like, oh, I can't put this out. And I played it live once, and just the response from the audience was just so overwhelming. And I was like, all right, I feel like maybe I do need to put this out. So it came out in December, and it's been great.
Thank you for sharing it with us. We're going to hear it in a little bit. So Girls Like Me, anything else you want to say about Girls Like Me? Like,
I think it's, you know, once it was a love letter to myself. I think we all deal with insecurities and, you know, never not feeling good enough. And it doesn't mean you like being an artist on stage that you, if you know, if you're not that, you can't relate to this. Anyone can relate to the feelings of not feeling good enough. And I think it's just, you know, remembering at the end of the day that you are, and to look around you with the people that you love and the things that you love doing and helping people and all those things, that's going to give you the strength to keep moving forward. So that's what the song is about. I know. Whoa. Heavy, deep. We went deep.
Wow. So here's Chloe Lowry's original song, Girls Like Me, pre-recorded. We're getting to hear it here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition. Thanks to Chloe.
Thank you.
I'm obsessive and unsure. I want the answer before I know the cure. I stress to be amused, complicate the way, and I wonder why I bruise. Listen now, so somehow but gravity holds me down. But girls like me, they fall a little too hard for all the world to see, and it breaks your heart. But girls like me, every time that they get up, they're the diamonds in the rough. When they finally realize they're enough. Sometimes I'm bold and I'm brave, a smile to hide all that I won't say. Oh, loving the wrong one every time. I know you told me, but now I'm sinking in my mind again.
They fall a little too hard.
fair enough.
Chloe.
It was heavy. We got through it.
Wow. Chloe Lowry, C-H-L-O-E-L-O-W-E-R-Y, Chloe Lowry. You'll want to look her up. So we have ChloeLowry.com. We have her links because you could find her on Instagram and Facebook, TikTok. Chloe Lowry, Chloe Lowry, you're the Lowry official. Sorry.
No, it's kind of hard to say, like, Chloe Lowry. Like, I'm Southern. My family's Southern, and it's easier when you're like, Chloe Lowry. You can say a little slow and with the twang, and then it works. Otherwise, it's like, ooh. So I understand.
You know, actually, it's funny you say that because I've heard you do a lot of other stuff. And then this one, I thought, oh, wait, she sounds so country.
You know, it comes out just a little bit.
I liked it very much. I like all the different genres, and gosh, there's so much I can say about that song, but probably we need to move on because boy, that's heavy. And I've heard it. And just sitting here listening to it again, I mean, it gets me. And does it get you?
It does. You know, sometimes it's like, it was almost like a point of closure, I think, when I wrote it. Like I spoke my piece. I put it on the piano. I put it there. I let it go. However, I have to say, when I'm singing it live, yeah, at shows that I do, I will always get a little choked up with it. Yeah. It puts me right back in that emotional spot. But listening to it, I kind of have I'm like, okay, we did that. But yes, I mean, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, beautiful. So we're going to get into a different genre now, but before we do, so all the different genres, is it because you've just been exposed to so much, or you've done so much, or you just can't pick one because you like them all?
You know, it's a really funny thing. I think my entire younger life in the record industry, everyone kept asking me, like, who is Chloe? Who is Chloe? Who is Chloe? Asking a 12, 13, 14-year-old these questions, I don't know what 12, 13, 14-year-old knows exactly who they are. So I kind of tried everything. And whereas I used to run away from that and not like that, now I call myself a vocal chameleon. I like the fact that I can sing pop and rock and R&B and classical. I can jump from one thing to the other. It's like I have vocal ADD. But I mean, my music, if you listen to my record, I had a record that came out in 2019 called The In Between. And now I've just been releasing singles for the most part. But it's sophisticated pop with like a rock tinge. There's a thread that kind of keeps all the songs together. But I like the fact that I can jump from genre to genre. And I think it just makes me a versatile singer. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Absolutely. No, on the contrary. Well, and I remembered having gone through your bio and going, oh, she did that. And oh, she did that, which like two completely different things. And then Broadway and then film. And then can we give a shout out? We don't have to, you know, Rocktopia.
We love Rocktopia. Rocktopia was great.
And we have mutual friends in it. So you've touched so many things and so many things that might not even see the light of day, which is crazy because you put your heart and soul into it. And sometimes it's about something else, right?
100%. I think in this industry, and you learn, I think as you go, you just can't sweat at all. Like you can't worry about everything because 95% of the time, if things don't work out, it really has nothing to do with
95% of the time.
It's 95% of the time. It has nothing to do with you. And it's like a political or, you know, some other issue as to why shows or things didn't, you know, amount to what you thought it was going to be. You just have to keep rolling with the punches. Just keep rolling along. Otherwise, you get stuck in this business. You can't sweat the small stuff.
So, okay, we're going to get into the next song. We're going to go a minute over here because I have to ask you now. So you're a vocal comedian, but chameleon. Yeah, you're a comedian too, but a chameleon. But dancer, actress, singer, songwriter, you all of that? Or does one of them have your heart the most?
I think first and foremost, I mean, I'm a singer. I mean, I think that's what people know me as. I think secondly, an artist. I've always been a recording artist. That was the first love, but I mean, I still dance. I dance in TSO. I've danced on Yanni's piano. I mean, I don't think anybody else in the world can say that. That's like my one claim to fame. I'm like, did you dance on Yanni's piano? I didn't think so, but I did. And then, I mean, obviously acting, and I mean, I have actually just kind of connecting the whole Bob Kinkle. You know, Dean and Bob were they found me for TSO. They really brought me into the organization, and I'm so lucky. I've been working with Dina on Avalona and the casting, and a bit on the stage side of just
Nice.
helping her and helping her with her vision, but mainly with casting. But we worked on another project, so I have my hands kind of at everything. It's just different ways of being creative.
You're living Chloe.
I am totally living Chloe.
Yeah. Well, actually, and so we're gonna hear more of Chloe, Living Chloe. Tell us about this next song.
This next song is my latest single. It came out, I want to say, 3 weeks ago. It's called "Get Through
Nice.
the Night." This is more up tempo, but it has a very universal feeling about, you know, you go through those times where it could be a heartbreak or, you know, any life craziness, and you know, there's like sleepless nights, and you're like, oh my gosh, if I could just sleep, like just get one good night of sleep, you know, tomorrow's another day, I can get through it. And it's just kind of a testament that, like, yes, you can, you will get through this. And so that's what the song is about. There's a music video that's coming out in a week or two. I'm waiting for a couple of things, so just stay on my socials, and you know, you'll find all that stuff out. But that's my new single, and then I've got more singles on the way, and more live shows, and just, you know, keep it going. Keep it going.
So I know this is a different vibe, but still, there's a little heavy, there's a little vulnerable, there's a little deep.
Yeah, well, we're
Yeah.
always a little deep. I say we. I know. I don't know what
Yeah,
it
we,
is. What
you and
is it? It's me. It's just me and me. This is all of my personalities, all the chameleons, all of the genres. You know what you're bringing out of me. No, but I mean, I think it's important. I think my music always is. It just it's my most authentic self. It's how I feel. And yeah, I guess it is heavy, but I think all art is kind of heavy in its way. And
Indeed.
that's how I speak. That's how we speak.
Yes, and you all do a good job too.
Thank you.
So
We are grateful.
so here is Chloe Lowry's original song pre-recorded here for the Life Changes Show online edition called Get Through the Night.
God, I wish I could drink you away. Trying to forget the emotion I gave. All the while I never had you. Words I just can't figure out. Sign up for love with never a doubt. Promises you couldn't make true. So I'll not go on and say you make love then push it away. Dream on the patterns in your mind.
Chloe Lowry.
Yay.
You're awesome.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. ChloeLowry.com. That's Chloe, ChloeLowry.com. And we got all our socials. Get on them. Go to lifechangesshow.com and get on them. Watch the video we have there. Chloe, the best to you. Thank you for sharing like you did. And thank you for continuing to, because you're going to share. All of you are going to do that.
All of us are going to be, we're going to continue to share. I just, you know, I appreciate you. I appreciate, you know, the Life Changes Show. Thank you just so much for even supporting artists like myself. I'm always grateful. Thank you.
It is our pleasure. So all the best to you. So with a big thank you to Chloe Lowry and another big thank you to Robert Kinkle. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeur, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.